stars ring the peak of Mount Everest. Paramount, a golf and western company. 75th anniversary. Paramount Pictures presents Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. New York City, 2 days before Thanksgiving. In an office tower, a man checks his expensive watch. Dressed in a gray flannel suit, Neil Page sits at a conference table, frowning at an older executive, Bryant, who slouches behind a desk, staring at a large ad layout. Neil discreetly checks a plane ticket that shows him departing New York for Chicago at 6 p.m. and arriving at 6:45. Several people in business suits wait with Neil at the table. They all watch Bryant. To a coworker across from him, Neil mouths, "I need to go," pointing to his watch. Neil shakes his plane ticket. Bryant looks down the table at them, and they smile faintly back. Neil puts the ticket in his pocket. Bryant leans forward over the three ad layouts on his desk. The others lean toward him. Bryant opens his mouth as if to speak. Neil watches closely as Bryant takes a deep breath, opening and closing his mouth as he looks around the room. Bryant finally leans back and picks up one of the layouts. Later,
solid hours of staring at the material to decide to reconvene after the holidays for a fresh look at the layout.
At the elevators.
Selling cosmetics, not curing cancer. Why are you going to the airport?
What's the point of busting my ass to catch a 6 o'clock flight? Why don't you wait and go out with me on the 8? You're never going to get a cab at this hour.
I told Susan I'd be home by 9.
That's you.
Oh, God. Oh, damn it. I left my gloves in Brian's office. I don't need them. I get in the elevator, I get in the taxi, I get on a plane, and I'm home. Would you pick them up for me?
Uh-huh.
I'll drive over tomorrow and get them.
Great. Have a good holiday.
I'll see you in Chicago, John.
You'll never make the city.
On the crowded street, Neil is one of a long line of people trying to get a taxi. He walks to the corner and gazes around. The street is jammed and no taxis are available. Across the street, Neil spots another man trying to hail a cab. Suddenly, down the street, a taxi's roof light comes on. Neil and the other man notice at the same time. They look at each other across the street. Then both take off running. They each race down the crowded sidewalk, watching each other across the street while dodging the other pedestrians. A delivery man rolls a dolly in front of the other man. Neil laughs. Both men put on a burst of speed, and just as Neil is about to win the race, he trips and falls in the street. As Neil looks up from the pavement, the other man throws him a salute and gets into the cab with a grin. Neil pushes to his feet and brushes himself off. On the nearby sidewalk, he spots an old-fashioned steamer trunk covered in travel stickers.
Cab! Cab!
A few feet away, another man hails a cab and one pulls up.
Sir?
Neil runs over.
Sir, excuse me. I know this is your cab, but I'm desperately late for a plane and I was wondering if I could appeal to your good nature and ask you to let me have it.
I don't have a good nature. Excuse me.
Come on! Could I offer you $10 for it? $20. I'll give you $20 for it.
I'll take $50.
All right.
Anyone who'd pay $50 for a cab certainly pay $75.
Not necessarily.
Someone loads
right,
the old trunk into the cab.
You're a thief. Close. I'm an attorney.
Have a happy holiday.
This will help.
The attorney takes the money as the cab drives away. Neil stares at the greasy puddle where the cab used to be, then runs after it.
Hey, that's my cab! That's my cab! Come here! Pull on! Pull on! All right, pull over! That's my cab! Over, buddy! You're messing with the wrong guy!
When the cab stops at a light, Neil yanks the passenger door open.
All right, you son of a bitch!
A portly mustached man stares up at him, wide-eyed, until the cab speeds off, and Neil stumbles back into a line of parked cars to avoid the traffic. Later, the sun is setting behind the Manhattan skyline as Neil gets off a bus at the airport. A clock reads 5:58. Neil dodges the crowd. The terminal is thronged with people as Neil rushes through. He reaches the gate. Meanwhile,
when are Grandma and Grandpa and Grandma and Grandpa gonna come?
They're gonna be here tomorrow, honey.
Mom?
Yeah?
Do you think Grandpa Walt is going to give me a noogie?
Of course he's going to give you a noogie. He loves to give you noogies. That's how he tells you that he loves you.
Why doesn't he give me noogies?
Because you get Indian burns.
But I prefer noogies.
Keep an eye on your brother.
Susan gets up from the dinner table.
Hello?
Who is it?
Where are you?
Who is it?
Shh, it's Daddy.
Flight delay.
When do you think he'll be in?
Shouldn't be any later than 10.
I'll wait up for you.
At the New York airport, jets with flashing lights taxi down the runway. In the terminal, Neil sits in the packed waiting lounge. It's now 6:58. He looks up from his magazine and notices the man sitting across from him reading a racy paperback titled The Canadian Mounted. The other man glances at Neil over the top of his book. As the two regard each other, Neil has a mental picture of this man inside his taxi. The portly, mustached man smiles and leans forward.
I know you, don't I? I'm usually very good with names, but I'll be damned if I haven't forgotten yours.
You stole my cab.
I've never stole anything in my life.
I hailed a cab on Park Avenue this afternoon, and before I could get in it, you stole it.
You're the guy who tried to get my cab. I knew I knew you, yeah. You scared the bejesus out of me. Come to think of it, it was awful easy to get a cab during rush hour.
Forget it.
Oh, I can't forget it. I am sorry. I had no idea that was your cab. Let me make it up to you somehow, huh, please? How about a nice hot dog and a beer?
No, thanks.
Just a hot dog, then.
I'm kind of picky about what I eat.
Some coffee?
No.
Milk?
No.
Soda?
No.
Some tea?
No.
Lifesavers?
No.
Slurpee?
Sir, please.
Just let me know. I'm here.
He knew I knew you.
On the plane.
This is something you should have discussed with the ticket agent.
I couldn't discuss it with the ticket agent because I didn't know he put me in coach.
I'm sorry. I can't help you. First class is full.
First class ticket.
You have a coach seat assignment. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Liz. Here okay, or how about over there?
Oh, here, there, anywhere's fine.
Pardon me.
Neil rolls his eyes as the flight attendant smiles at the other passenger.
Save your boarding pass and you'll get a refund on the difference.
I don't want a refund. I want a seat in first class where I was booked and ticketed over a month ago.
Look, I have had just about enough of you. Now take your seat.
Oh, you've had about enough of me. First you delay me, then you bump me. I can't wait to see what happens next.
Is this a coincidence or what? Have a seat.
A full moon hangs in the night sky as the plane taxis down the runway. Meanwhile, at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago, a blizzard gusts around the parked planes and all flights to Chicago are canceled. Neil's plane is in the air. On board...
I never did introduce myself. Del Griffith. American Light and Fixture, Director of Sales, Shower Curtain Ring Division.
Del pulls a little sample case from his pocket.
I sell shower curtain rings. Best in the world.
Neil tries to read his magazine.
And you are?
Neil Page.
Neil Page. Pleased to meet you, Neil Page. So what do you do for a living, Neil Page?
Marketing.
Marketing. Super. Super. Fabulous. Isn't that nice?
Look, I don't want to be rude, but I'm not much of a conversationalist, and I'd really like to finish this article. A friend of mine wrote it, so...
Don't let me stand in your way. Please don't let me stand in your way. The last thing I want to be remembered as is an annoying blabbermouth. You know, nothing grinds my gears worse than some chowderhead who doesn't know when to keep his big trap shut. If you catch me running off of the mouth, just give me a poke in the chops.
Del leans down and pulls one of his shoes off.
Oh! Oh, that feels good. Oh, God, I'm telling you. My dogs are barking today.
Neil fidgets and looks around as Del takes off his sock.
Oh! That feels better.
Del slaps his sock around, and Neil leans back to avoid it. Later in the dark cabin, Neil tries to read as the old man sitting on his right snores on his shoulder. On Neil's left, Del is also snoring. As Neil watches, Del's eyes open.
$6 in my right nut says we're not landing in Chicago.
Del goes back to sleep. Meanwhile, at Neil's home in Chicago, the house is dark except for the front door lights. Susan is asleep in bed.
Hello.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm in Wichita.
Wichita, Kansas? Are you all right? What happened?
We couldn't land in Chicago.
I don't understand what Wichita has to do with a snowstorm in Chicago. What's going on, Neil?
What's going on is I'm in Wichita. We took off from New York, they closed Chicago, and we landed here.
Later, Neil struggles with his briefcase.
Neil! Some trouble on the home front, huh?
I really don't think that's any of your concern.
You know, the finest line a man will walk is between success at work and success at home. I got a motto. Like your work, love your wife.
Well, I'll remember that. What's the flight situation?
Simple. There's no way on earth we're going to get out of here tonight. We'd have more luck playing pickup sticks with our butt cheeks than we will getting a flight out of here before daybreak.
I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, but by the time the airline cancels this flight, which they will sooner or later, you'd have more of a chance to find a three-legged ballerina than you would a hotel room.
You're saying I could be stuck in Wichita?
I'm saying you are stuck in Wichita.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? I'm sorry to announce that we're canceling flight 909 due to severe weather in Chicago.
At a payphone.
Hi, I was wondering if you had any rooms available for tonight. Anything, anything worth it.
No, I'm sorry.
All right. Do you know of any other motel?
Neil grabs his briefcase and walks away from the phone.
Neil.
Hi.
Well, welcome to Wichita. Did you book a room yet?
I couldn't get in anywhere.
As soon as we got off the plane, you called home. I called the Braidwood Inn.
I missed that one.
I got an idea. I know the manager pretty well. I sold him some rings for his curtains. If you want to pick up the cab fare, I'll make sure you get a room for the night.
Neil notices a businessman sleeping on the floor by a trash can.
Yeah, sure, great.
All right. Grab it into this thing, will you? Thanks. Oh, thanks a lot.
On the floor is the steamer trunk covered in stickers.
Is this your trunk?
Yeah. You should try lugging this thing around New York City.
Neil narrows his eyes. Later, a cab tricked out with strings of lights, an elaborate hood ornament, and gold swirls painted down the sides, rolls down a deserted street. Doobie's taxiola is painted on the door, and the license plate reads Wolf. The interior is decorated with pictures of naked women and dangling ornaments. Dell smiles at Neil, and the driver grins over his shoulder at them.
Where the hell is the motel?
Doobie, is it much farther?
Not much.
Why didn't you take the interstate?
Said your friend had never been around here, so I just figured he'd like to look around. Don't see nothing on the interstate but interstate.
The middle of the night.
I know, but he's proud of his town. You know, that's a damn rare thing these days.
The cab pulls up to the Braidwood Inn. When it stops, the suspension lowers and Neil climbs out.
Take care of the luggage, will you, Doobie?
Okay, Dell.
As Neil watches, a young woman shoves a young man aside as they enter the seedy motel.
Stick with me.
Smiling, Dell heads inside. Neil hesitates, then follows. In the rundown lobby...
Evening, Gus.
A grinning older man comes to the front desk.
Dell Griffith, how the hell are you?
Well, I'm still $1 million shy of being a millionaire. Gus, I want you to meet an old friend of mine. This is Neil Page. Neil Gus Mooney.
Glad to meet you, Nick.
Nice to meet you.
Gus, I told my friend here you'd be able to fix him up with a room for tonight.
You have a major credit card?
Neil hands over his Diners Club card.
Do you still honor those discount credit cards for the rooms?
Yeah, well, I'll have to charge you for a double, but with a discount, it'll come out even.
Well, there you go. That's pretty good. We're saving money already. We're a pretty good team.
Dell gives Gus his discount card.
We were on our way to Chicago from New York, and the storm brought us here.
I know all about it. I must have half your flight booked in already.
Well... Neil takes the wrong card.
I guess you're all fixed. So, there you are. Last room in the complex.
I mean, share?
Yeah, hey.
Easy on that.
Okay.
Dell and Neil open the door to their room. When Neil turns on the light, he and Dell discover that the tiny room's shabby furniture includes just one double bed. Neil stares at it, then glances at Dell. They smile at each other.
Cab ride,
yeah, yeah, it was a great cab ride. You don't see cabs like that too often, you know.
Neil cleans a shelf, then looks again at the bed.
You want to take a shower?
No.
No, I meant if you want to go first or not. you thought I...
No, go ahead.
Oh, I would... Well, what do you think I am?
Yeah, no.
God, no. Gee, that's funny. That's funny.
In the shower, Neil stands under the flow of steaming water. He notices the shower rings and grins. In the room, Dell opens his trunk and takes out a pillow and a framed photograph. In the shower, Neil is washing his face when the water stops. He opens his eyes and gets soap in them.
Oh, come. Come on.
Dell sits on the edge of the bed and admires the studio portrait of a carefully made-up woman with a bouffant hairdo. In the shower, Neil's eyes are full of soap and he can't reach the taps. In the room, Dell sits up in bed in his pajamas, having a beer and a cigarette. He puts a coin in a slot by the bed and it starts to vibrate. Puffing on his smoke, he watches TV.
You're the boss.
Neil opens the shower curtain. The vanity is littered with Dell's toiletries and used towels. The rest of the towels soak in puddles on the tile floor. All that's left in the towel rack is a washcloth. Neil steps out of the tub onto a squishy towel and gingerly takes the washcloth. He Nookie wipes his face with it, then contorts to dry his back. Later, in bed in the dark room, Neil fusses with his pillow. Both men toss and turn in the narrow bed.
Excuse me.
I'd switch pillows with you, but I'm allergic to sponge. I got a bad allergy to it. I'd be sneezing all night with that thing. That's why I carry my own pillow. It's hyperallergenic. I had no idea those beer cans were going to blow like that.
You left them on a vibrating bed. What did you think was going to happen?
It's been a long day. It just didn't occur to me.
It didn't occur to you, so I have to sleep in a puddle of beer.
You want to switch?
No, I just want to sleep.
Me too. I am bushed.
Good night.
Good night.
Lying awake, Del picks up his book from the bedside table while Neil lies with his back to him, keeping his eyes closed. After trying to read in the dark, Del fumbles for his lighter as Neil opens his eyes. Meanwhile, Susan watches TV in bed. In the hotel room, Del cracks his joints. Neil scowls as he stares into the darkness. In Chicago, Susan sleeps.
Traffic is resuming at O'Hare Field and flights will be moving out of there very shortly.
Beside Neil, Del clears his sinuses.
Sorry.
Neil tries to settle back to sleep. Neil leaps out of bed.
Why? What? That's it. If I don't clear my sinuses, I'll snore all night.
Neil turns on the light and gets dressed.
Gee, if your kid spills his milk, what do? Slap him in the head?
What is that supposed to mean?
You're not a very tolerant person.
Look, you've been under my skin since New York, starting with ripping off my cab.
God, you're a tight ass.
How'd you like a mouthful of teeth?
Oh, and hostile, too. Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant. That's borderline criminal.
Screw you. You spill beer all over the bed, you smoke, you mess up the bathroom.
Well, who let you stay in the room? I even let you pay for it so you wouldn't feel like an intruder, which you most certainly are.
Oh, I'm an intruder.
Yes, you're an intruder. I was having a perfectly nice trip until you walked into my life.
I walked into your life. Who was that who talked my ear off on the plane? Who was that? I'm curious.
Well, who told you to book a room? I did, out of the goodness of my dumb old heart. Boy, you're an ungrateful jackass. Well, go ahead, sleep in the lobby, see if I care. I hope you wake up so stiff you can't even move.
You're no saint. You got a free cab, you got a free room, and someone who'll listen to your boring stories. I mean, didn't you notice on the plane when you started talking, eventually I started reading the vomit bag? Didn't that give you some sort of clue, like, hey, maybe this guy's not enjoying it? You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting. You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that. They're not even amusing accidentally. Honey, I'd like you to meet Del Griffith. He's got some amusing anecdotes for you. Oh, and here's a gun so you can blow your brains out. You'll thank me for it. I could tolerate any insurance seminar. For days, I could sit there and listen to them go on and on with a big smile on my face. They'd say, how can you stand it?
And I'd say, because I've been with Del Griffith, I can take anything. You know what they'd say? They'd say, I know what you mean. Shower curtain ring guy. Whoa. It's like going on a date with a chatty Kathy doll. I expect you to have a little string on your chest, you know, that I pull out and have to snap back. Except I wouldn't pull it out and snap it back. You would.
Del looks down.
And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Del listens, blinking hard. Neil throws down his jacket and turns away.
You want to hurt me? Go right ahead if it makes you feel any better. I'm an easy target. Yeah, you're right. I talk too much. I also listen too much. I could be a cold-hearted cynic like you. But I don't like to hurt people's feelings. Well, you think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me. Because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.
Neil stares at the floor. Del turns his back and sits on the edge of the bed. Neil grimaces and squeezes his eyes shut. Del gets back into bed and pulls the covers over himself, keeping his back to Neil. Neil looks over at the bed to find Del watching him. Del quickly turns his back again. Neil slowly puts his clothes back in the closet and gets back into bed. Neil turns out the light and settles under the covers. Later, an intruder quietly uses a knife to unlock their room. While the men sleep, he picks up a wallet and empties it, counting the money before putting it back on the bedside table. The thief tucks the wad of bills inside his dark cap, then puts it back on his head and creeps out. In the morning, a herd of pigs forages in a brown field across the highway from the Braidwood Inn. Inside, Del's bedside table is littered with his cigarettes and gum, empty beer cans, and a Cracker Jack box beside the photo of his wife. In the bed, Del is spooned tightly around Neil. Sleepily, he kisses Neil's ear. Slowly, Neil opens his eyes.
Del. Why did you kiss my ear? Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows.
The men leap out on opposite sides of the bed, pacing and twitching.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game. Bears got a great team this year. They're gonna go all the way.
Oh, yeah!
Neil closes the bathroom door behind him and stares into the mirror. Without looking, he runs water in the sink and splashes it on his face. Frowning, he sniffs his fingers, then notices Del's socks soaking in filthy water. He dries his face and is horrified to find he's using Del's big white underpants as a towel.
Neil? Take my socks out of the sink if you're gonna brush your teeth, all right?
Meanwhile, in Chicago, people are clearing away the snow.
Where are you?
I'm in Wichita.
You're still at the airport?
No, I'm at a motel. I spent the night with this guy I met on the plane.
You shared a motel room with a stranger? Are you crazy?
Not yet, but I'm getting there.
Did you call the airline?
In a diner.
Everything's booked solid, but they said I have a good chance of getting on standby.
And if they told you wolverines would make good house pets, would you believe them?
I'm not spending Thanksgiving in Wichita. I've got a family waiting for me. I'll get home.
Not by airplane. I got 18 hours of air traffic backed up. Anyway, you slice it, the odds are we're going to be having our turkey roll right here. If we wait for
a waitress pours coffee.
How else can we get home?
Thanks. Bert Dingman, a buddy of mine. He works for the railroad.
Train?
Yeah. I sold them all their shower curtain rings. He owes me a favor.
The waitress puts down their bill.
For everything else, why break precedent?
You're making me feel like a freeloader.
Get me on the train. We're square.
Got it. That's the easy part.
Neil finds that his wallet is empty.
What?
You know goddamn well what.
I'm sorry, I don't.
I had over $700 on here.
I didn't touch your dough, Neil. A lot of things, but I'm not a thief.
You went into my stuff last night, right?
I didn't take your money. And I don't care for the accusation.
Well, I had over $700 in here, and you went into my wallet for pizza. Just maybe when you went into it, you had to take
it. Count it.
Oh, like you keep it in there if you stole it.
There's $263 in there. If there's a dollar more, then you can call me a thief. Just count it.
Neil grabs Dell's wallet.
263, right?
There's nothing inside.
Empty.
What?
Dell checks frantically through his wallet.
We were robbed.
Do you think so?
You know, I've been thinking.
Later.
What we're dealing with here is
they sit outside the inn.
He didn't take the credit cards, right? So we charge our way home. What kind of plastic you carry?
We've got a Visa and a gasoline card. Oh, and I've got a Neiman Marcus card in case we want to buy a gift for someone. What have you got?
Chalmers Big and Tall Man Shop. It's a 7-outlet chain in the Pacific Northwest. Great stuff. Unfortunately, it does us no good here.
Oh, never mind. Just get me to the train station and I'll take care of everything else.
Oh, I got that all covered. Gus's son's gonna pick us up.
A scruffy pickup truck pulls into the parking lot.
Gee, I hope not.
Neil and Dell glance at each other as they sit still and wait. A pair of heavy black boots pace around the front of the truck and stop. They belong to a grubby young redneck in dirty jeans. He stares at them from under his hunter's cap. Neil and Dell exchange a quick look. They flinch when he spits tobacco juice at their feet. The man walks toward them.
I'm on.
He twitches his cap at them.
Yeah, Dell Griffith. How are you? This is Neil Page from Chicago.
They shake.
Hi. Pleased to meet you both.
Owen wipes the spit off his chin, then shakes Neil's hand.
I'm to drive you to Wichita to catch a train?
Yeah, we'd appreciate it.
Train don't run out of Wichita.
Hmm?
Unless you're a hog or a cattle. People train runs out of stub, Bill.
That'll be fine. That'll be just fine.
Neil helps Dell with his trunk.
Get your lazy behind out here and put that trunk up in the back.
Oh, no. We've got it.
It's very heavy.
She don't mind. She's short and skinny, but she's strong. Her first baby.
A woman gets out of the truck.
Come out sideways. She didn't scream or nothing.
Isn't that something? You're a real trooper. We've got it! We've got it already! It's done!
Neil and Dell hustle the trunk to the back of the pickup.
How much further?
In the back of the truck.
Maybe 40.
They huddle.
No more than 45,
in the freezing
though,
wind.
Depending on which way he goes. If he goes the back roads, it could be anywhere up to 70 miles.
Neil tries to pick up a glove from the straw as a dog snaps at him.
Just nipped a little part.
Give him the goddamn glove!
Are we there yet?
No, a little way to go yet. Beautiful country, though, isn't it?
You figure the temperature is.
One.
The ramshackle truck pulls into a small town, swerving around an Amish carriage as it turns a corner to pull up at the train station. In the back of the truck, Neil and Belle are frozen with frost in their eyebrows and hair. Belle waves to the engineer as the train pulls in. Neil is at the ticket window. Neil brings Del a ticket.
We didn't have two together.
You gotta be kidding me. Oh, I knew it. You know, I the secretary was new and I explained it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think they're just full.
Well, it's the holidays, I guess. Hey, we're lucky we got a ticket.
Yeah, so, if I don't see you again.
Well, I'll see you on the train. You wanna get together for a drink in the bar car?
I'm gonna get some sleep.
You sure?
Yeah. Anyway, it's, been interesting.
That's the understatement of the year. And thanks for the ticket.
They shake hands.
Neil, I need your address. I gotta send you the money to pay you back for this ticket.
Ticket's a gift.
Oh, no. Come on now. What's the address?
Del, it's a gift.
Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Del smiles as he watches Neil board the train. The train trundles under a stone bridge and beside bare winter fields. Neil smiles at the girl reading next to him.
Going home for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Me too. Just gonna make it.
He grins at the scenery as the train rolls over a trestle bridge across a river. Sun streams in the windows of the car full of passengers sleeping and reading. In the middle of nowhere, black smoke starts to pour from the train's engine. Neil is still asleep as the train slows. He wakes up when it lurches to a stop. The crew climbs out of the cab to look at the smoking engine.
Oh, what did you do here?
I said there was smoke. Did he say he saw smoke?
The passengers start getting off the train. Neil grimaces. The crew unloads the baggage car. Del holds his briefcase and suitcase in one hand while dragging his steamer trunk along the ground with the other. Neil talks to the conductor.
Mile and a half to the highway up here. The trucks will meet you, and I'll take you to Jefferson City.
Del stumbles, trying to haul his trunk through a rutted field. Neil watches him and shakes his head. Del looks back and spots Neil. When Neil hesitates, Del turns and forges on. Neil stares at the ground for a long moment, then shakes his head and follows Del and the other passengers, stumbling across the uneven field. When he catches up with Del, he picks up the other end of the trunk and carries it. All the passengers trudge away from the smoking train.
To say the least.
Later, Neil and Del sit in a small waiting room. Neil shakes his head.
Your mood's probably not going to improve much.
Later, the bus rolls past snowy fields. The passengers ignore a child skipping in the aisle with paper windmills. Neil watches Del eat crackers and drink a soda. You. Del's attention is caught by a young couple making out.
Check that out.
Neil glances over at the couple. He turns away. Then looks back.
It's a movie on a plane, huh?
As they stare, the man bends the woman back over the eye alarm rest. She opens her eyes and looks up at Neil, and then the man stops.
You got busted. Oh, that was good. I guess this is probably as good a time as any to tell you this. Our tickets are only good to St. Louis. St. Louis to Chi-Town is tighter than Tom Thumb's ass. Look, it's Thanksgiving.
Neil does a double take when he spots the couple puffing cigarettes.
All right, who knows a tune here? Who wants to sing a tune? Who's got a song?
I got one.
You got one. Neil Page has got one.
Three coins in a fountain. Each one seeking happiness. You know this, seeking happiness. Thrown by three hopeful lovers.
The other passengers stare at him, then turn away.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. They're the modern Tonics family. From the town of Bedrock, they're a page right out of history. When you're with the Flintstones, have a yabba dabba do time, a yabba do time. You'll have a gay old time. Wilma!
How do you do, ma'am? My name is Del Griffith. I'm with the American Light and Fixture Company, jewelry division, and I've got the deal of a lifetime for you. Do you have a minute? This is your
in
Diane Sawyer autographed earring. You ever watch 60 Minutes?
She buys the red plastic shower
Thanks.
Curtain ring.
This is Czechoslovakian ivory. That's $5. Great. This is your Walter Cronkite moon ring. Thank you. They are filled with helium, so they're very light. Thank you. This is an autographed Daryl Strawberry earring. All right. These are very special earrings, by the way. These were originally handcrafted for the Grand Wizard of China back in the 4th century. Now, these, of course, aren't the originals, but they are replicas, very good replicas, too. They're selling for $5 a pair, 2 for $7.
Spring over the turkey hunting now, for this is Thanksgiving Day.
I'm Marty Page, and I'm thankful that my dad's coming home for Thanksgiving.
As Del rakes in money, Neil uses a payphone, holding it between two fingers. When there's no answer,
you know,
Neil hangs up.
It makes you look a little older, too. I mean, not just a little bit. You could pass for 18 or 19.
Three young girls give Del money. Later, Neil and Del eat in a restaurant.
One was home. Probably at my daughter's Thanksgiving pageant. You missed it. I'm sorry. Those are the precious moments, too. They don't come back again. I've been spending too much time away from home. I haven't been home in years.
What, seriously?
No, it's a figure of speech. You know, I'm on the road so much. It's like not being there. Yeah. By the way, I called a good friend of mine at Eastern Airlines. Doesn't look good.
I know, I called all the airlines.
Well, at least we're still sitting on over 100 beans from my brilliant idea.
Terrific sales. You know, I've been thinking that when we put our heads together, you know, we've really gotten nowhere. And, you know, I think I'm holding you up.
Oh, no, don't say that about yourself. That's not true, Neil. It really isn't true.
No, I really think we'd get to where we're going a lot faster if we were alone. Okay.
Del nods but looks away.
Okay. I see.
Sucking his teeth, he looks down at the table. When he spots the check, he picks it up.
I think I'm just going to take care of this, and I think I'm going to get going.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
You know, it's just harder for two people to travel, you know?
Yeah, sure it is.
And if you got reservations?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Thanks for the mail.
Yeah, okay, that's all right. And I think I owe you some of this too.
No, I told you, I do not feel like taking your money.
Take the money, buy your kids a chocolate turkey or something like that. I don't want the money, okay?
I'm just gonna leave it for you. I got enough for my kids.
Then leave it. If you want to leave it, fine. That's okay. I'm done, okay? I've got to get going now, so if you'll excuse me, I got things to do. Good luck to you, and I hope you get home soon. Yeah, sure you will.
Del marches out. Still sitting at the table, Neil covers his face with his hand. Later, a marathon car rental shuttle bus pulls into the parking lot near the airport.
This is a white marathon car, speed 35.
Neil gets off the bus and it drives away. He walks down a row of cars, checking a rental slip against the numbers on the parking spots.
V5.
But when he reaches stall V5, it's empty. He frowns and looks around. The shuttle is pulling out of the parking lot.
Hey!
He races after the bus.
Hey! The car's not there! I need a ride back!
When the bus takes off without him, he has a temper tantrum in the parking lot, crumpling up the rental slip and hurling it away. He watches the marathon shuttle drive away. Later, Neil walks up a vehicle ramp outside the airport as cars speed past. At the top of the ramp, he begins to descend a steep, snowy hill. He starts down gingerly, his shoes awkward in the ankle-deep snow, his arms waving for balance. As his feet shoot out from under him, he slides down the slope and over a concrete wall to land in a pile of wet snow by the highway. A truck narrowly misses him. Later, he trudges across the airport runway. Finally, he reaches the terminal. As he walks in, his ruined shoes squelch with each step. His tie is up around his ears, and he yanks it off, his face set as he marches to the rental car counter.
Oh, Jean Marie, you're a stitch. No, Mom's gonna do the turkey. Yeah, Dad wants ambrosia, so I guess we gotta get those miniature marshmallows. And I'll do the crescent rolls, and you do the cranberries. You know I can't cook. Yeah, well, I'll see you tomorrow then. Gobble, gobble. Oh, bye-bye.
The woman's smile fades as she takes in Neil's wrecked clothes and hostile glare.
Welcome to Marathon. May I help you?
Yes.
How may I help you?
You can start by wiping that fucking dumbass smile off your rosy fucking cheeks. Then you can give me a fucking automobile, a fucking Datsun, a fucking Toyota, a fucking Mustang, a fucking Buick, four fucking wheels and a seat.
I really don't care for the way you're speaking to me.
And I really don't care for the way your company left me in the middle of fucking nowhere with fucking keys to a fucking car that isn't fucking there. And I really didn't care to fucking walk down a fucking highway and across a fucking runway. Get back here to have you smile at my fucking face. I want a fucking car right fucking now.
May I see your rental agreement?
I threw it away.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what?
You're fucked.
Neil strides out of the terminal building. A Outside, he spots a taxi stand.
Yeah, where are you going?
Chicago.
Chicago?
Chicago.
You know you're in St. Louis?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you try the airline? It's a lot faster and you get a free meal.
If I wanted a joke, I'd follow you into the John and watch you take a leak. Now, are you going to help me or are you going to stand there like a slab of meat with mittens?
The attendant punches Neil in the nose and he collapses backward into the road as an approaching driver slams on the brakes. The attendant smiles as Neil cowers under the bumper.
I almost crushed your head like a melon.
Well?
Get your car out of here!
Yeah, just a minute, okay?
Get it out of here!
What is your problem, you insensitive asshole? Can't you see we got an injured man down on the street? Now I'll move my car, but I want you to help him up.
No! My pleasure.
Dell gets into his car. As the attendant hauls Neil to the curb by his crotch. A little later, Dell's beat-up convertible speeds down the ramp away from the airport, his steamer trunk strapped on the rear deck.
You know, I had a feeling that when we parted ways, somehow, someday our paths would cross again. Are you all right?
Neil holds a handkerchief to his nose.
I've never seen a guy get picked up by his testicles before. Lucky thing for you, that cop passed by when he did. Otherwise, you'd be lifting up your schnutz to tie your shoes. I'm sorry. That's terrible. Do you have any idea how glad I am I didn't kill you?
Don't you have any idea how glad I'd be if you had?
Oh, come on, pal. You don't mean that. Remember what I said about going with the flow?
How am I supposed to go with the flow when the rental car agency leaves me in a 100-acre parking lot with keys to a car that isn't there, and then I have to hike 3 miles back to find out they don't have any more cars?
I got a car, no sweat at all.
Well, Bill, you're a charmed man.
Nope.
Oh, I know. You just go with the flow.
Like a twig on the shoulders of a mighty stream.
Pull out of Pittsburgh, roll down the east of Sioux Falls.
That night, as the car speeds down the dark highway, Dell fidgets in the passenger seat as Neil drives. Neil rolls his eyes as Dell fiddles with the electronic seat control. Dell struggles to keep the seat back upright, but it keeps falling back. Then it pitches him sideways into Neil.
Please stop doing that with the seat.
Why don't you start screwing around with these damn things? You can never get comfortable.
You quit screwing around with it.
I gotta get comfortable. Do you have a bad back? Well, I do, and it hurts like a bugger. There's only a couple good positions.
You're going to break it.
Good. Oh, lovely. Lovely, lovely.
Dell tries to lean forward.
Oh, damn it. What now? I got the seat just where I want it. I can't reach my feet to get my shoes off.
That's just fine. Leave your shoes on.
I can't relax if I got my shoes on.
I don't care to breathe your foot odor. Leave the shoes on.
Gee, it must be swell to be so perfect and odor-free. You know, there's plenty of things about you that bother me, but I'm decent enough not
really?
To bring them up.
Really?
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. What do I do that bothers you? I'm just
curious.
Well,
there's lots of things.
Well, name
you
one. Why don't you name
there's
one?
There's quite a few things. You want me to name one?
Yeah,
fine. You play with your balls a lot.
I do not play with my balls.
Larry Bird doesn't do as much ball handling in one night as you do in an hour.
Are you trying to start a fight?
No, I'm simply stating a fact, that's all. You fidget with your nuts a lot.
You know what would make me happy?
Got a couple balls and an extra set of fingers?
Oh, that's humor. Oh, that's real humor. What would make me happy is if you give your mouth a rest.
My pleasure.
I'd like a little silence.
No problem.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dell's seat falls backward. Later, when they switch sides...
You broke the seat. You broke the goddamn seat. I don't believe it.
It wasn't broken when I got out.
You messed around with it till you broke it.
How can you break a car seat? It's impossible.
What do you mean it's impossible?
You want to drive?
No, I don't. Why did you do this?
The seat squashes Neil's face into the wind.
Look, I'm not going to be held responsible for faulty engineering.
Oh, well, this is comfortable. This is really comfortable.
The seat shoots backward.
I don't want to argue, all right? Let's not fight.
All right, all right.
I'm going to go to sleep. All right.
I'm putting my wallet in the glove compartment. Don't let me forget it.
All right.
Del turns on the radio. Smoking a cigarette, he bops to the music.
Ah, you can talk about the pit, barbecue. The band was jumping, the people too.
Mouthing the lyric, he drums on the steering wheel and flips cigarette ashes out the cracked open window.
They're doing the mess around. Everybody doing the mess around. Now, when I say stop, don't you move a peg. When I say go, just shake your leg.
As Neil tosses and turns, Del's chair dance gets more enthusiastic. Almost swerving off the road, Del grabs the steering wheel. Then he plays air piano on the dashboard. Shoving his thumb in his mouth, he pretends to play sax.
Now this band's gonna play from 9 to 1. Everybody here's gonna have some fun doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody do the mess around.
That was Ray Charles doing the mess around. Looking outside, the weather's beginning to clear up now. Hope you're enjoying your evening. Coming up on half past the hour.
Del throws his cigarette out the window, not noticing when it bounces into the back seat. As Neil sleeps, Del fans himself. While he keeps thriving, Del struggles out of his down jacket, but he catches the sleeve on one of the seat knobs. Frowning when he can't get free, he looks down, driving with one hand. He nearly drives off the highway and fights for control. When he turns back to his sleeve, the car swerves again, fishtailing on the wet road.
Oh, come on.
He fights with his sleeve but can't free it. Glancing at the sleeping Neil, he tries again to remove his coat. But when he takes his other hand off the steering wheel, he catches that sleeve as well. He's trapped and can't steer. He tries to free his hands as the car hurtles down the highway. Del tries to steady the steering wheel between his thighs. Battling with his coat, he closes his eyes and the car crosses the median into the empty oncoming lanes. The car plunges into an intersection. Del's trapped arm rips free from the coat as he hits the brakes and the car spins out. When the car stops, Del is clutching the steering wheel as Neil stirs awake.
What's happening?
Oh, we almost hit a deer, that's all.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. Yes, I'm fine.
It's getting pretty hot in here. You ought to take your park off.
Yes. Yes, I will.
Del pulls back onto the highway, not noticing that he's still on the wrong side. Ahead. Two transport trucks come down the highway side by side. A driver on the other side sees them.
Holy shit, look at that guy on the wrong side of the highway. He's going to kill somebody.
God!
Hey!
Del honks back.
Hey, what's going on?
Some Joker wants to race.
Don't race. That's ridiculous.
All right, come on. Let's go. Let's go.
Put your window down!
You want something?
He's probably drunk.
You're going the wrong way!
What?
You're going the wrong way!
Neil laughs.
He says we're going the wrong way.
Oh, he's drunk. How would he know where we're going?
Yeah, how would he know? Thank you. Thanks a lot. Terrific.
Thank you. What a moron.
The big rigs get closer.
You're going in the wrong direction.
Del mimes drunkenness.
You're going to kill somebody.
Neil looks out his window. When he notices the snow-covered median, he frowns, then looks again at the other car.
You're going the wrong way!
Then he spots the oncoming trucks.
What?
Truck?
Sparks fly as the car squeezes between the trucks. Neil has a vision of Del as the devil. When they make it through, Del hits the brakes. His steamer trunk soars off the rear deck and lands on the highway. Bug-eyed, Neil pries his hands from their death grip on the dash, and Del finally manages to release the steering wheel. Del pulls the car around so they're facing the right direction on the shoulder. Another car swerves to avoid the trunk. Neil and Del climb out, putting on their coats.
Oh, this isn't so bad.
Del looks at the wrecked side panels.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a lot worse than this. They'll be able to buff this out, no problem. Oh, yeah. Wow.
I mean, that was close. We can laugh about it now. We're all right, you know. The whole,
Neil just stares
Maybe
at him.
We should just get my stuff off the road, huh? What do you think? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, my back. Oh. God.
Neil watches Del limp toward his trunk. Finally, he relents and goes to help Del haul his luggage to the side of the road as more cars approach. They sit on the trunk, their backs to the car.
Oh, what a night.
Light flickers and Del turns to look at the car. Beside a sign that says Chicago, 102 miles, the car is on fire. Del turns away from it. Neil looks at the car, then turns away. Frowning, they glance at each other, then turn in unison to the blazing car. Slowly they stand, watching as flames devour what's left of their vehicle. Neil starts to chuckle.
What?
What? You finally did it to yourself. I mean, good luck turning the car. I mean, they're going to be happy as pigs and shit to see you. How could you rent the thing anyway without a credit card? I mean, look at you doing.
Oh, I gave this gal behind the counter a set of shower curtain rings.
You can't rent a car with shower curtain rings, Del.
Well, somehow your Diners Club card wound up in my wallet, and I just...
You stole it!
Not exactly!
You stole
no,
my
card! No, I swear on my life I
did! I know you stole it!
I did not steal
your card!
You
stole my card, and then you rented a car, and then you burned it up!
I did not! I found it in my wallet!
I knew you stole it!
I thought you put it there!
Why would I put it there?
Kindness?
Kindness? Kindness? You stole it! He stole it!
No, I didn't! No, I didn't! I was gonna send it back to you! With whatever the rental car charge was! Plus interest! But you didn't give me your address! What was I supposed to do? You just ditched me! I had no money, I had no cards, I had nothing!
Give it back!
I can't!
Neil shakes Del hard.
Why not?
Because!
Neil shakes him again.
Because why?
Because when we stopped the gas up, I put the card back in your wallet!
Slowly, Neil turns to look at the blazing car. He drops his head onto Del's shoulder.
Are you mad at me?
Neil socks Del in the stomach, then trips over the trunk and sprawls to the pavement. Later, they drive the smoking shell of a car to a motel. Neil pulls
to
a stop.
You could have killed me slugging me in the gut when I wasn't ready. That's how Houdini died, you know.
Neil glares at him, pries his fingers off the half-melted steering wheel, and gets out.
Well, one good thing about it, with all this fresh air, we're gonna sleep like babies.
Neil? Hey,
Neil, wait up!
Smoke rises from the metal seat frames inside.
I need one room.
Look, if you're pissed at me, maybe we should get separate rooms.
You get your own room.
I need a major credit card.
Neil pulls out his charred wallet.
I have, Diners, Visa, and a gasoline card.
They're shriveled and black.
These aren't credit cards.
All right, I'll pay cash. Cash.
$42.50.
As Neil pulls out his cash, Del watches.
How about $17?
I can't do that.
Please. Have mercy. I've been wearing the same underwear since Tuesday.
I can vouch for that.
I don't own the place.
Neil looks at his watch.
$17 and a hell of a nice watch.
He drapes the watch over the cash. Outside, Neil gets into what's left of the car. Back in the lobby.
Would you like a room?
Neil parks the car outside a guest bungalow.
I got a slight problem here. I don't have the $42.50.
You have $17 and a good watch?
No, I don't. I have,
Del goes into his pocket.
I have $2 and a Casio.
He drapes the watch over his sleeve enticingly.
I'm gonna have to say goodnight.
Neil settles into a rustic motel room, sitting on one of the twin beds. He tries to make a phone call, but the rotary dial has a lock on it. At home in Chicago, Susan tosses and turns in bed. Neil puts down the phone and sits, arms crossed. Outside, Del, wearing his down jacket and a hat with ear flaps, gets into the burned-out car. The lights go out in Neil's room.
Well, Marie, once again, my dear, you were as right as rain. I am, without a doubt, the biggest pain in the butt that ever came down the pike. I meet someone whose company I really enjoy. What do? I go overboard. I smother the poor soul. I cause him more trouble than he has a right to. God, I got a big mouth. When am I ever gonna wake up?
In bed, in his room, Neil lifts his head from the pillow. Pushing back the covers, he gets out of bed and goes to the window. Through the curtain, he sees Del huddled in the wide-open car. A little snow falls.
I wish you were here with me right now. But I guess that's not gonna happen. Not now, anyway.
What did I do to get hooked up with this guy?
Del sits with his eyes closed. Neil cracks open the door to his room. He opens the door wider.
You're gonna freeze to death out there.
Del's eyes open, and he turns to look at Neil standing in the open door. Later, in the room...
How's your drink?
Good.
Neil's bed is covered in tiny liquor bottles and junk
food. Where have you been? You been to Italy? You had amaretto?
I had an amaretto, and this is a gin.
A gin?
Give me that. Is there a tequila there?
A little Mexican trip.
Tequila?
There you go. Come on up.
Oh. Neil eats Doritos.
Combo or what? No. Probably not. Me, I'm going back to Jamaica. Jamaica, man. Go to Jamaica. Have some rum, man. Dig it. Iree, man.
Oh, shit. You know, when I'm dead and buried, all I'm gonna have around here to prove that I was here was some shower curtain rings that didn't fall down. Great legacy, huh?
At the very least, the absolute minimum. You've got a woman you love to grow old with, right? You love her, don't you?
Del smiles.
Love is not a big enough word. It's not a big enough word for how I feel about my wife.
To the wives.
To the wives!
They hold up their bottles, then drink.
Wow.
Well, let me just close this conversation by saying you are one unique individual.
Neil turns out the lights by
what
his bed.
What is unique? Latin for asshole?
You grab those off, then I'm going to kick them off.
Yeah.
Del moves the booze as Neil gets under the covers.
As much trouble as I've had on this little journey, I'm sure one day I'm going to look back and laugh.
You think so?
Oh, I'm laughing already.
Oh, God.
Oh, when that car blew up.
Was that seat hot or what? That's like a big whopper. Turn me over, I'm done on this side. I'm afraid to look at my ass, you know? I'm going to have those griddle marks on my ass.
What is that?
Potato chips.
Del goes into the bathroom.
They're everywhere!
Why do I feel like I'm at summer camp?
Coming out of the bathroom, Del goes to a hanging lamp.
How the hell is this turned off?
He reaches in to turn the bulb.
No sec.
Just a minute.
The next morning.
Get a good push now.
All right.
The car has been plowed in. Neil tries to push it, but his shoes slip in the snow.
Push for comfort!
I am!
Push for Christ's sake! I think we have to rock it a bit.
All right. Okay.
Up and down. Okay. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Reverse!
Del backs the car through the wall of the motel room.
Aww.
Huh.
Neil frantically gestures him forward.
Hit it!
Neil jumps into the passenger seat.
Go!
Del guns the car out of the snow and out of the parking lot. Del uses an arm signal to make a turn, and they're speeding down the highway in the rickety vehicle. A cop clocks them going 78.
Oh, great. Cop, watch it! How fast are you going?
I can't tell, the speedometer's melting.
Pull over.
Top of the morning, officer.
Aye.
Is there something I can help you with?
What the hell are you driving here?
We had a small fire last night, but we caught it in the nick of time.
You have any idea how fast you were going?
Well, funnily enough, I was just talking to my friend about that. Our speedometer's melted, and as a result, it's very hard to say with any degree of accuracy exactly how fast we were going.
78 miles an hour.
78, huh? Well, yeah, I could buy that, sure, I guess. You would know better than us, especially since we got a melted speedometer.
Do you feel this vehicle is safe for highway travel?
Yes, I do. Yes, I really do. I believe that. I know it's not pretty to look at, but it'll get you where you want to go.
Now, you got no outside mirror.
No, we lost that.
You have no functioning gauges.
No, not a one. However, the radio still works. Funny as that may seem, with all this mess, that the radio is the only thing that's really working good, and it's as clear as a bell. Don't ask me how.
Can't let you go ahead in this vehicle.
Can't what?
No, it's not fit for the road. The vehicle will be impounded until such time as it can be made safe for travel on state highway.
Okay, officer, I admit it. I broke the law, and for that I'm really sorry. I am. It'll never happen again. You got me there, and I won't argue with you one iota, I swear. However, if you impound our car, I'm gonna be unable to get my friend here home in time for his Thanksgiving dinner.
Neil smiles and nods. A little later, the car is towed from in front of a large brick building, and Neil stands shivering on the sidewalk. A large red transport truck approaches down the street. Neil watches as Del jumps down from the cab's passenger side.
It's free and it's nonstop.
I tell you I was gonna get you home?
I don't care, just so the heater's working.
Oh, the driver's a little freaky about people riding up in his cab. So we can't sit there.
Well, if we can't sit up there, where are we supposed to ride?
They huddle in the fridge compartment.
He's walking, huh?
Between cartons of cheese.
You know, you're gonna be in Chicago and... less than 3 hours around there. We don't have any traffic, and I don't think we should. It's Thanksgiving. Moving now.
the truck cruises along rolling country roads between snowy fields. Finally, they reach the outskirts of Chicago. Neil and Del stand on the L train platform.
It's been a hell of a trip.
Sure has.
But after all is said and done, you did get me home, and I really appreciate
it. Hey, next time, let's go first class, all right?
God, I hope there isn't a next time.
I know what you mean. I really do. This you?
The train approaches.
Yeah.
The two men shake hands.
Neil, it really has. Again, I'm sorry if I caused you any trouble.
Oh, no, you didn't cause me any trouble. You got me home. And a little late. A
couple days.
But I'm a little wiser, too, so.
Me, too.
Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Neil hesitates, then hugs Del.
Okay.
Give my love to the family, will you?
Same to you.
Maybe I'll get a chance to meet him one day.
Okay. Say hello to Marie for me. I feel like I know her.
Yeah.
So. Okay. And you have a happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, you know it.
So long.
Del gives a tearful thumbs up as Neil gets on the train. Del waves through the window as the train pulls out. Neil sighs. As the train rounds a corner, Del stands on the snowy platform and watches it go. On the train, Neil rolls his neck back and forth. Back at the station, Del drags his trunk along the platform. Neil automatically checks his empty wrist. He smiles as he imagines his daughter and his two little boys all dressed up. He imagines a hot cherry pie coming out of the oven, a stuffed turkey being basted, a candle being lit. He pictures Susan sitting at one end of the table and him at the other. He smiles when he remembers Del spooning him in bed. He chuckles. He thinks of them laughing hysterically as the car burned. He remembers their first night together.
I like me. My wife likes me.
And their last night together.
At the very least, the absolute minimum. Got a woman you love to grow old with. Spending too much time away from home. I've been home in years.
Neil frowns as he rides. A train pulls into the L station where Neil boarded. When it stops, he gets off. He hurries down the platform. Opening the door to the waiting room, he finds Del sitting with his luggage.
Del, what are you doing here?
He steps toward him.
You said you were going home. What are you doing here?
I don't have a home. Marie's been dead for 8 years.
Del looks up at him, and Neil stares down at the floor. Closing his eyes, Neil hangs his head. A little later, Neil and Del walk down a tree-lined street, carrying Del's trunk between them. The street leads right to Neil's large brick home.
are one lucky guy, Neil.
Look, I won't stay long or anything. Maybe I'll just come in and say hi, and then I'll be on my way, all right?
Just come on.
They lug the trunk up the walk to the front door. Neil's daughter answers the door.
Hi, kiddo.
Daddy!
Daddy!
Oh, Neil's home!
Neil Griffith, I want you to meet my father-in-law, Walt.
My mother-in-law, Peg.
Hi.
My mother, Joy.
Well, my dad, Mark.
Glad to see you.
How you doing? Welcome, Bill.
Hello, guys. Neil Jr.
Hello, this is
my little Jim, Marty. And somewhere around here is my little baby boy, Seth.
Oh.
Neil glances up as Susan comes down the stairs. He goes slowly to the foot of the stairs.
And I'd like you to meet a friend of mine.
Del and Susan gaze at each other.
Hello, Mr. Griffith.
Hello, Mrs. Page.
They smile at each other. Then Susan walks down the steps and throws her arms around Neil. As they hug each other, Del smiles, lowering his gaze and clutching his cap in his fingers. Holding Susan, Neil gives her a kiss. Watching them, Del blinks back tears and smiles. Directed by John Hughes. Written and produced by John Hughes. Starring Steve Martin, John Candy, Layla Robbins, and Michael McKean. Director of Photography, Don Peterman. Production designer, John W. Corso. Edited by Paul Hirsch. Associate producer, Bill Brown. Music score by Ira Newborn. Costume designer, April Ferry. Casting by Janet Hershenson and Jane Jenkins. A John Hughes film. Executive producers, Michael Chinich, Neil Maclis. Also starring, Dylan Baker, Carol Bruce, Olivia Burnett, Diana Douglas, Martin Ferrero, Larry Hankin, Richard Hurd, Susan Kellerman, Matthew Lawrence, Edie McClure, George O'Petrie, Gary Riley, Charles Tyner. Music supervisor, Tarquin Gotch.
I never should introduce myself. Del Griffith. Del Griffith. Del Griffith.
Unit production manager, Neil A. Maclis. First assistant director, Mark Radcliffe.
Wow.
Second assistant director, Arthur Anderson. Music coordinator, Ron Payne. Soundtrack album available on Hughes Music, MCA Records. Additional music score by Anthony Marinelli, Brian Banks. Music editor, Jeff Carson, Segway Music. Supervising sound editors, Wiley Stateman, Lon E. Bender. Sound editors, Lorna Anderson, Victor Brodecki, Chris Jargo, Randy Kelly, Larry Kemp, Dan Rich, Hugo Wang. Music scoring mixer, Gary Ladinsky. Orchestrator, Don Nemitz. Music recorded at Evergreen Recording Studios, Inc., Group 4 Recording. ADR supervisor, Stan Gilbert. Foley artists, Dean Draben, Gary Recker Hecker, Alicia Stevenson. Assistant sound editor, Chris Hogan. Re-recording mixers, John Wrights, Dave Campbell, Greg Rudloff. Copyright 1987 by Paramount Pictures Corporation. Cast of characters, Neil Page, Steve Martin, Del Griffith, John Candy, Susan Page, Layla Robin, State Trooper, Michael McKean, Taxi Racer, Kevin Bacon, Owen, Dylan Baker,
Joy, Carol Bruce. Marty, Olivia Burnett. Peg, Diana Douglas. Motel clerk, Martin Ferrero. Doobie, Larry Hankin. Walt, Richard Hurd. Waitress, Susan Kellerman. Little Neil, Matthew Lawrence. Car rental agent, Eddie McClurg. Martin, George O'Petrie. Motel thief, Gary Riley. Gus, Charles Tyner. Marie, Susan Isaacs. Owen's wife, Lily Newcomb. Cab dispatcher, John Randolph Jones. New York lawyer, Nicholas Wyman. Cab driver, New York, Itani Lisi. Stewardesses, Diana Castle, Julie H. Morgan. Man on plane, Bill Irwin. New York ticket agent, Ruth DeSouza. Wichita airport rep, Ben Stein. Receptionist, Kim Gennell. Brand manager, Grant Forsberg. Cafe patron, David Rayport. Bus lover, Andrew J. Hentz. Bus loverette, Karen Meisinger. Pilot, Gary Palmer. Earring customers, Diane Neiman, Sylvia Vitrungs, Joanne Taylor, Julie A. Herbert, Jennifer Allswang, Wendy Lee Avon, Amy Myers. Neil's stunt double, Bob Horrigy. Dell's stunt double, Jeff Jensen. Doobie and Owen's stunt double, Rick LeFevre. Dell's stunt double, Jeff Jensen. Doobie and Owen's stunt double, Rick LeFevre. Screaming driver, John Moyo. Screaming driver's wife, Victoria Vanderploot. Stunt drivers, Corey Eubanks, Mike Tillman. Utility stunts, Kent Hayes, Bill Lane. Hughes. Bryant is still in his office, alone, surrounded by empty coffee cups and a turkey dinner, examining the ad layouts. He lifts a layout high over his head and stares up at it while his mouth hangs open.
Let's see.